3, 2, 1. Hello and good afternoon. Welcome to the Yellow Tape Podcast. The Yellow Tape Podcast is hosted by me, Sean Lewis. I'm the owner of Higher Police, and our show is co-hosted by our Higher Police Crisis Director, former military and current SWAT team officer, Nathan Almer. You can review the timelines of what we're sharing today, maps, videos, pictures, etc., on our Higher Police Facebook page, or you can go to our Twitter account, which is at Higher Police on Twitter. We're going to start off our story today, and we're going to recap the events that happened a year ago today. Today is the 14th, February, 2019. We're going to go over the terrible high school shooting at the Parkland High School, and that was same time, basically, as it is now, around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but a year ago, previously, 2018. The timeline to get started, this is part of the Florida Sun. Around 2:19 p.m., it was a half hour before roughly 3,500 students and staff were set to stream out of their high school in Parkland, Florida, and basically enjoy the rest of their day as a normal, I guess it would have been Wednesday probably last year. That's when the suspect arrived on campus. He arrived in a small gold-colored Uber car. I'm assuming that's per the video. The gunman, a former student at Stoneman Douglas, walked towards the school's 1200 building, it's called, and you can see this on the maps, like we mentioned before on the Facebook page. The 1200 building is where the shooting occurred in the one campus. He walked in carrying a duffel bag, hiding in an AR-15 rifle, which is a very popular high-powered assault rifle. He put it in a duffel bag. Is that fairly, Nate? Is that fairly easy to carry in a duffel bag?
It depends. I mean, the AR's platform comes in different styles and different lengths, you know, different barrel lengths, different buzz lengths. But I mean, it can be achieved. Yeah.
So you could add one of those folding stocks too, correct?
One could have a folding stock, yes.
And that takes up a lot less room. All right. So back to the story. So that was 219, 221. And you could, like I said before, you can see all these buildings on the maps that we have. So it's a little bit easier to follow if you want to take a look at this later online. 221, a freshman stepped out of his first floor English class, heads up a flight of stairs to use the restroom. The freshman at the time encounters the gunman. The former student had gone to the building east stairwell to load his gun, which is kind of crazy. He walked in with the gun unloaded, mm-hmm. goes to the stairwell, loads his gun, and then, you know, you got this kid that walks in during the middle of it. The gunman was said to have given the student a stark warning to the freshman, you'd better get out of here. At that point, the freshman fled the building in response to the gunman's warning. 30 seconds later, that's when the shots started to happen. Going by the timeline, it looks like he walked into the first floor. And then around 2:22, students in nearby English class, room number 1216, noticed gunshots and smoke starting to gather in the hallway. The smoke set off the school's fire alarm. Students on the first floor, the gunman's first stop, had very little chance to hide. You know, when I was reading this earlier, Nate, I was noticing, I don't think the gunshots actually set off the fire extinguishers. There wouldn't have been enough smoke from the AR, correct, to probably set off a fire extinguisher.
No, I probably wouldn't think so, but I'm not exactly sure if he had any actual like smoke devices,
or maybe one of the kids pulled the fire alarm.
It could have been. Yeah.
You know, not a terrible idea. You know, you hear shots, hit the fire alarm, right?
Right.
Okay, so basically the fire alarm's going off. The gunman fired into the first floor classrooms and shoots at the others in the hallway, killing 11. Unbelievable. 11 all on the first floor. Mm-hmm. So he caught them by surprise. They come running out of the classrooms, it looks like, and then he starts just firing into the crowd. The gunman was able to fire directly through windows for the statement made in the Florida Sun, which killed 2 students in one classroom while injuring another 4. So at this point, he's just walking down the hallway, firing indiscriminately into the classrooms, basically.
Yep. Just looking for targets of opportunity.
Targets, right. At this time, the school resource officer, who we all heard about later, Scott Peterson, a Broward County deputy, is in Building 1. So when you look at the map, it looks like Building 1 is about, going from the map we see, is about a block or two from Building 12. Peterson reports over his police radio, we have shots fired, possible shots fired. Now, we don't know if he heard the shots or maybe it was that one student that was running out. That was never really clarified, but at some point, you know, he hears shots. Deputy Peterson stops at the corner of the building across from 1200 building, where he remains for the entire shooting. Other deputies begin to arrive to the active shooter incident, but the deputy directs them to shut down traffic. They remain far from the building. And then this is where I guess I defer over to you, Nate. This is not current procedure, from what I read afterwards, for active training, right?
As the stop and not actually going to the actual shooting.
Right. Just to stay outside and wait to see what happens, right?
No.
You guys go in now, right?
Yeah. The current practice is basically you got to go to the gunshots. You got to go to that stimulus, that driving force. You know, you can't just sit there and wait for backup.
And as a SWAT officer, and I've asked you this before, but if you were not with anybody, you're by yourself, you would still follow, I guess, where the gunshots are coming from, or do you enter the building on your own? I mean, you don't just go running into the building, correct? But you also just don't sit out inside of the building.
Yeah. Obviously, hopefully you had at some kind of advanced training or any training at all, because, but yes, you obviously need to go into the building, or you need to go to where the shots are coming from. And obviously you just don't run in all, I guess you want to say, nilly dilly. There is some tactics that you can apply to it.
Okay. So, I mean, if it's me outside, obviously I'm not a SWAT guy, I'm not going to go running into the building, but you know, if I'm a deputy and I have a weapon, then I should be entering the building at some point or some area, or at least, I guess, if you see students flooding out of one door, you know, which way that, you know, this, I'm assuming which way you should head in.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good indicator. Like I said, obviously the best indication is obviously you see the shooter. So you have positive identification on them, and you can then, deal with that as needed. But yes, we call it like a stimulus, a driving force. People pointing in that direction, like you said, people pouring out of a stairwell or a doorway. Obviously, they're trying to escape from something. So, you know, it's usually a pretty good indication of which direction to head.
And I would hate to say other stimulus, but I'm assuming someone that's already been shot and killed, that would be a stimulus as well.
Right? Yep, 100%. Like I said, there's different terms out there that are used to describe it. Stimulus, breadcrumbs, or, you know, clues, if you wanted to say. But obviously, it's something that tells you, hey, the bad guy was either here or is here.
Right. I got you. Mm-hmm. So it's basically clues. And we always say whenever we do these podcasts, we weren't there on site. You know, we're not trying to, as Nate says, Monday. What is it called?
Monday morning quarterback.
Monday morning quarterback. Correct. We're not trying to say this is what they should have done, this is what they shouldn't have done. We're just here to read the facts. And, you know, hopefully by reading this and telling you guys these stories, there's other ways or something that if it happens to you, maybe, you know, it helps save another life. That's why we're here, just to review the facts and, you know, give our 2 cents on it, I guess.
Yeah, it's good discussion, too. You know, it's, you know, we're destined to make those mistakes if we forget about them, you know.
Of course. Yeah. And I feel like, you know, a lot of times, too, unfortunately, it happens so much, these school shootings, is that you don't get all this information. We have researchers and everybody else helping us put these stories together. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they go into very little detail about maybe what could have been done, or, you know, other changes. And then next thing you know, we have another one, and then you go right into that story. So back to this story directly. And so it looks like at that point, the deputy stopped traffic. So no cars are coming in and out, that's for sure. But at 2:23, so we started at 2:19, we're at 2:23 p.m. right now. Mm-hmm. Seems the shooter walks up to the second floor via the stairwell. No casualties or injuries took place on the second floor. Students and faculty stay inside the classrooms, possibly with the fire alarm, and because they looked to take cover when they heard gunshots. Nobody really knows, but for some reason, no casualties on the second floor. He just walks through. 2:24, the gunman makes his way to the third floor of the 1200 building at the high school, where the students on the third floor are pouring out of the classrooms because of the fire alarm. Due to them being farther away from the noise of the gunshots, which we're assuming they all say heard was the fire alarm, not the gunshots. I mean, he could have actually pulled the fire alarm. Who knows? Maybe he did it to try and get more people out of the classrooms. Headed towards the stairwell, and then that's where the rest of the casualties occurred. You got the gunman walking up the stairs, and you got the students walking down. Students then attempted quickly to file back into classrooms before it's too late. Some of the classrooms were locked. It's not known which one specifically locked, but this leaves students exposed in the hallway, basically like sitting ducks. I mean, they got a guy walking through with a gun, and there's nowhere to go. Hearing shots, one teacher unlocks his door. That was room 1256, and a teacher was shot and killed outside the classroom. When the gunman noticed that he turned his back to reload his weapon, most likely, several students raced towards a stairwell to escape. And we've talked about this before too, Nate. When you know, you hear the gunshots of the assault rifle, the AR, I think a lot of times people forget, you know, it's not a video game. It's not an endless amount of ammo that they have. You know, so he has to take time to drop the magazine from the AR and then reload, which is, you know, that is a possible escape moment if you're stuck there and need to run, right?
Yes. And obviously, like, there's so many different factors that come into a person's decisions and how they're going to act on them. But yeah, if you have to make the run for it, I would definitely wait to there. What I would call is like a lull in the action. You know, there's a pause. There's no more active killing. There's no more active shooting. And if, you know, if you had to choose between either run while he's shooting at you or run while he's trying to change his magazine, then I'm going to say run while he's trying to change his magazine, you know?
Right. Yeah. So if you got to escape and you can see an out and you're waiting for him to run out of bullets, that's the time. Now, obviously, if he knows what he's doing, I don't think it takes too long to switch out a magazine and an AR.
I mean, it's just like any other skill. The more you practice it, the better you get.
Right. Yeah, unfortunately. So you're not talking a whole lot of time. No. I mean, especially if he's prepared.
But 1 or 2 seconds, it may help you.
One or two seconds. But obviously, he's loading up his weapon before he walks in. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how prepared he was, but, you know, right. I've shot the ARs before. I know it doesn't take too long to switch it out and load another round in the chamber if you know what you're doing. So he basically was reloading his weapon. Several students raced towards the stairwell to escape. So they got their out, and good for them. Mm-hmm. You know, meanwhile, outside, you still have the Broward County Sheriff's Department. They're shutting down traffic over to the middle school. When we looked at the map, we didn't realize that the middle school is directly next to the high school. So at this point, you know, if you're in that middle school, you're probably going into a lockdown, I would assume.
Yeah, like I said, depending upon what their policy and procedure is for that. But I would say, based off of that information, just as we just read it, if you know that the shooter or we'll say a shooter because we know it's a shooter because it's being put out over the radio as a shooter. If you know he's at one facility and you're able to lock down your facility, I would say that's probably the better of the answer than doing maybe a an evacuation plan, because at least then,
so everybody locks down, they lock the doors.
If there's an officer already dedicated to that building and he can lock it down, then I mean, I would probably say that's the better, because then he can control who comes into that building.
Yeah. And we don't know, it doesn't say if there was a school resource officer. I think traditionally, before the new laws in Florida, that took place this year, mm-hmm. where every school is required to have an armed guard. Most likely the school resource officer probably would have been safe for the high school. And he probably just would have, you know, been checking on the middle school, I would assume. Or I don't even know how many school officers would have been assigned to the high school.
Right, but
it's usually only one, unless it's a large complex, right?
Yeah, I would, like I said, obviously Florida, I think, is the only state right now that mandates that there has to be an armed presence. And I think it's, don't hold me to this, but I think it's actually 1,000. I'm not sure if it's 1,000 students or 1,000 personnel or faculty included, that I think there has to be at least one gun.
No, it makes sense. Yeah. I mean, that's what's
obviously, you know, situations like this, you know, more is always better, because you don't want to enter a fair gunfight where it's one-on-one. If you have a team, it's always, or a partner, it's always more beneficial.
Right. Well, all right. So you got at least one officer, and mm-hmm. it sounds like there's other people from Broward County pulling up at this time.
Oh yeah. Usually, I mean, history has shown us that, you know, as a law enforcement, I mean, we always, and even have concerned individuals, I mean, like your off-duty carries, your off-duty officer, not your off-duty carries, your concealed weapons carries, your off-duty officers. I mean, when these active shooter alerts go out, I mean, you get a very, very strong positive response. So that one officer there, all he has to really do, him or her has to do, is basically confront that, close with, and find that shooter. And it's pretty much, I mean, it's not over, but backup's coming.
It's coming.
Backup is always coming.
How does that come across the radio? Does it come across as there's an active shooter?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't actually heard one yet for the area that we worked in, but, you know, either be shots fired, blue, like if this officer's there, I didn't actually listen to his transmission, but I mean, he could say we have shots fired in this area or discharging, or, I mean, especially if you're at the school too. I mean, if you're monitoring, I mean, I don't know how many officers were there monitoring that channel, but if they have a dispatcher, I'm pretty sure they can link, you know, other local units into those channels or spread them over, you know.
Oh, sure.
And also, too, all those 911 calls that are coming through.
Oh, yeah, all the kids with cell phones.
I mean, everybody, Facebook Live and Instagram. Everything. I mean, you're going to have the word's going to get put out really quickly.
Right. No, that makes sense. Now, I guess my question is, and you would know the answer better, as more police arrive, isn't somebody going to be like, why are we all sitting out here? Shouldn't this?
One should be, yeah.
Right. I mean, I get it that he was first on the scene and set up the traffic perimeter, but don't you got that, you know, one guy with SWAT mentality is like, hey, I'm not sitting here doing traffic. I'm going to go in there and find the shooter.
Yeah. And, you know, that one guy, obviously, he, like you said, he got there and first started trying to coordinate and set up a traffic pattern, but that was the wrong answer, I would say. If there's still shots going on,
right,
or there's still, like I said, the stimulus, the clues or breadcrumbs, whatever you want to call it, if you believe it's the killing still ongoing, you know, whether you've been trained for active shooter or you're most, you need to go in.
You got
to
go in. Right.
You're not the traffic guy today. You need to go in and be almost what a guy would say, like your hunter killer. Like, cause I mean, that's what you are. You're going in, you're hunting this bad guy down and you're killing him.
That's why they call them the first responders. Right.
Right. Yeah. Not second or third.
Not second or third.
Right.
Now you got to get in there and do your job.
But eventually, as you were, incident command post and all that stuff, like your officers and officers back for, like, you know, they'll eventually then start setting up those perimeters and coordinating. But that first officer, that I probably say those first few officers need to be the ones going in. And until that shooting stops, every officer needs to be keep coming in.
Yeah, I got you. All right, so we're moving along 2:25. PM. By this time, it's stated that the deputy reporting over police radios that her shots are heard by the football field. So, I read through the story before. I don't think there was any shots fired out the football field. I think maybe that was just him hearing echoing shots from a building.
It could be. I mean, especially, yeah, like in a campus environment where you have multiple buildings close to each other, those sounds or those
ricochets.
They ricochet even inside the building. I mean, it's very hard sometimes to even distinguish which hallway the shot's coming from, which classroom, which floor. I mean, obviously the floors are usually, if you're at the bottom of the floor and you sound like it's coming from second or third above you,
right,
you know it's not on the first. But once you get up there and then it's down that hall or it's down this, depending upon, so noise does bounce.
So when you do when you guys do your training, I'm assuming they hide the shooter in your training stimulus in different parts of the building to see if you could figure out where they are?
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things you definitely train for is, you know, I don't want to say it's all reactive, but it is. I mean, you know, different trainings, different scenarios are obviously, you know, sometimes you'll come up and he's right in the hallway, you know, sometimes he's in the one room, yeah, right in front of you. Sometimes
that would be my luck. I would open the door and yep, he'd be right there. That,
well, unfortunately, you're the good guy with the gun and that's, yeah, what you signed up for. So
that's what I signed up for.
Yep, today you get to be the hero.
Yeah. Yeah.
But sometimes scenario base is that he's in a deep room somewhere, you know, trying to bait you in, or, you know, you're coming down the hallway, you think he's in this room and all of a sudden, oh, the sound has changed a little bit because you're getting closer and you're like, oh, he's not in that room. He's in this room.
Right. So, and a lot of times, and not to get you off, but a lot of times what we noticed was that these guys are wanting to be killed. So they're sitting in the back of some corner of some room waiting for them to advance on them so they can end it for them.
I think of our history. Yeah, yeah, not all of them. I don't know. I don't believe any active shooter has been like cookie cutter yet. Each one adds a little bit something different to, yeah, it, you know. Yeah, exactly. Like, but it's facts or not facts, but history has shown is that usually when they're confronted, whether it's by law enforcement or concealed weapons, basically when the bad guy is confronted by a good guy,
right.
it's that bad guy has to make a decision whether he's going to either run, take his own life, or fight the good guy, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, that's pretty much it, you know?
And that's, you know, that's why we're covering these two in these podcasts, mm-hmm. is because they're all different.
They are.
Every story is, you know, completely different from the next one, which, you know, there's no really right or wrong way. The only thing that that we've shown is that, you know, a school resource officer or a guy with a carry permit, if you have somebody there that actually defend it and wants to defend, not like this case, usually it results in less people being killed.
Yes, I'll right? definitely say. I mean, it, like I said, it's when the good guy meets the bad guy, one right. of three things is going to happen. He's either going to A, run away.
Yeah.
He's going to either shoot at you, which now he's not shooting at the innocent people anymore.
Right.
You know, unfortunately, you know, the good guy's getting shot at, but like I said, is that's your job. You were there. You're the dedicated responder for that area. Especially, like I said, if you're a school resource officer or with the guardian program, you know, that's your job.
Yeah.
Just like a teacher, you're being paid to teach. You don't just stand there and watch.
Well, that's your time for action.
The other alternative is that is either he then kills himself or you kill him, which then still is all three of those. We're looking for the same result, that he stops killing innocent people.
Right. No, correct. All right. So basically at this point, they think the shots are coming by the football field. And then the deputy at that point, is heard over the radio to get the school into lockdown, which, I mean, I guess to me doesn't make any sense because you have an active shooter inside the school. It's a little late for a lockdown. You know, at that point, you know, if you have like you were saying before, if you have the ability to get out of there, you know, you want to leave the building immediately. Right.
Yeah. So like I said, obviously, like I said, not Monday morning quarterbacking him, just going off of what I'm reading here is that, and what I, was looking into is that, you know, let's say if we give the guy the benefit of the doubt, you know, maybe he, like I said, shots do echo. Maybe he thought the shooter was outside the building now.
Right.
So
right.
then I don't think it would be a bad call to say, hey, put the building in lockdown, stop evacuating people, lock that building down. Cause if we believe the shooter's outside, let's harden the building so that way he can't come back in.
Shouldn't he have been running for the football field then?
He should have been. Should have been. Or coordinating
he
other
stayed in the same place right. the entire time.
Right. So, and now we're back to not giving him the benefit of the doubt. But, if you believe he's still in, and this is, like I said, this is where you can kind of what if it to death and, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword, you know. I mean, I'm always going to say that if you can get out, and obviously you have to assess for yourself or even like your class, if you're the teacher, I would assume you have a responsibility to be that adult or just you're in that authoritative position, is that, you know, if you're on that first floor, even that second floor, that window's right there and you can get out. I mean, it's definitely an option.
You're going out the window.
You're going out the window. You're going out the door. And, or like I said, even if, you know, sometimes you're dealt a bad hand and, you know, maybe you get injured on the way out, but at least then if you're injured and you're able to keep moving, you can get the medical treatment you need outside of what we would call like the hot zone, out to the paramedics, out to the incoming responders, you know?
Right. Cause they're not coming in right away to save you.
Well, the paramedics are not.
Right.
The police are coming in, but remember, like their first and primary job is what? To put the shooter down, to stop the shooter.
Yeah.
So they're not stopping to render aid until after that, the shooter has been down and they've actually started probably even making it a warm, if not a cool zone, you know?
And that's why we go into our, you know, you do your medical classes mm-hmm. too, is to teach people how to do the tourniquets and the chest seals, because yep. that's how most of them die is by the
arterial
bleeding.
Right? Yep. The arterial bleeding.
Something everybody should know.
Yeah.
What you've taught me is how to effectively apply a tourniquet, you know, using whatever means necessary, mm-hmm. whatever supplies you have.
Yep.
You know, ideally every place should have a trauma kit.
Yes.
With the right equipment in it and training for the teachers so they know exactly how to handle this sort of things. But man, you know, it's just out of nowhere and people aren't trained or ready to go.
Yeah. I mean, like I said before, and I'll keep saying it's valuable training. I'm not going to say it needs to get to the point. I am saying it needs to get to the point, but you know, you get teenagers who are certified in CPR and the Heimlich, you know, and AED use, you know, why this should be equivalent to it. You
Correct.
Know? I yeah. mean, we're not, you don't need any kind of certification to do it. These are real simple life saving techniques.
Yep. No, I completely agree. All right. So back to, I think we're at 227 now, and we started at 219,
yep.
Right?
Yeah, so we got 227 shots from the field. Yep, go ahead.
Shots from the field. The gun room remained then, let's see, in the teacher's lounge. Oh, well, actually, they said Scott, the deputy, was calling on the radio. The gunman is seen firing rounds at students through the teacher's lounge window. I'm not sure if the deputy saw that or if other students saw that, but it, apparently the windows caused the bullets to fragment. You know, and that could have been because maybe they were double pane windows. Yeah. We're not window experts, but there's also, you can explain, I guess, to the listeners a little bit about, different type of rounds that go into this gun.
Yeah. I mean, weapon, there's a couple variables that go into this, but it's not like, I guess it would be corny and say Hollywood, you know, where, you know, the bullet just goes right through the glass and continues on that straight path. It doesn't happen. That glass, whether obviously, the type of glass comes into play, the angle of the glass comes into play, or factors, you know, the type of round that's being fired from the round, is it hollow point, is it a, is it ball, you know, all these factors come into play. So it could deflect the round, it could send it, it could, you know, depending upon what type of glass it is, how thick it is, the type of the round, you know, how far it was away, it might actually just, you know, change its whole trajectory.
Yeah, it's a big right. bullet, but it's yeah. a long bullet, right? The AR weapon for people.
It's
that
a small
know.
Round. It's,
like, it's a small
yeah,
round.
Yeah, it's like a souped-up 22 round.
Right.
Yeah, it just has more power behind it, but yeah.
And the difference between the hollow point and what's the other one you said?
Like a ball ammo. Like a ball. Basically, hollow point is kind of like mushrooms in on itself. It's not a penetrating round, you know. A lot of people think that it's like a, I guess you want to say, not a, a worse round, because for what it's designed to do, it's meant to stop the thing that it's going into, you know, like, as opposed to ball ammo, which is like a penetrator. It,
that'll
you know,
go through it.
It might go through the person, through the bad guy and into a good person. You know, right. you want, if, you know, if you're,
but still you shouldn't assume what type of ammo the shooter has, because a lot of things I feel like people see in movies, they can hide behind a door and be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely a difference between cover and concealment, you know? And that's actually, we definitely talk about that in, two of the courses that we provide for with higher police for people.
Yeah, because you're not hiding behind a door with
I mean, you're hiding behind a door, but it's definitely concealment. It's not cover.
The right. round's going to go through the door.
Depending upon the door, too, also. We always have to take that into consideration.
Right.
You know, like, think
a
about
standard
think,
wood
think about your bedroom door, right?
Yeah, that's not
it's not stopping anything.
It's not
I mean, how many
anything.
Of us have yeah. seen a fist or a kid go through it, you know, when they're playing around, you know?
Yeah, there's no stopping anything.
But then, yeah, then you have like a thicker, older wood solid door. I'm not saying the round's going to go through it or if it's not going to stop it, but it definitely would be a better choice than the your bedroom door, you know?
Yeah. And, but, oh, and I'm going to jump forward too, towards the end of this. They put in our notes that one student per the Chicago Tribune was noted that he had on a bulletproof vest that was given to him by his father, who was a police officer. And we talked about this a little bit before the show. Going back to conceal cover and the rounds and everything else, I think that kind of applies, is that most body armor or vests are not capable of stopping an AR round themselves, right?
Right. So, no. Like, there's different types of body armor. There's different types of... there's multiple companies out there. There is a standard that goes, I think, nationally for the body armor, but there are different levels of it.
Yeah.
So if he's just, I think most people, when they think a bulletproof vest is like the, at least I would. I mean,
well, I think most people,
you think
if you
like
say
the,
bulletproof, it stops everything.
Well, right, exactly.
They don't know.
I'm a big fan. Believe there's nothing bulletproof. I mean, you shoot it enough times with the right round, it's coming through.
Yeah.
But. Like,
and you're assuming you're gonna get hit in the chest.
You're assuming you get hit in the chest, and you're assuming you probably get hit once, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of times, there's more than one round coming behind that, you know, out of that gun.
Of course.
So, I mean, so it definitely will help you. I mean, if you gave me the option of getting shot without one and shot with one, I'm probably gonna take it. You know.
Isn't that crazy though? A high school student like lugging a bulletproof vest to school with him every day. I just don't see it.
So yeah, so this was the student that had it, correct?
Yeah, it was a student that
right.
had it. Not
okay.
Had,
I was
yeah.
gonna say way you worded it wasn't.
Yeah,
it's kind of unclear how you said how.
Yeah, no, sorry. It was the Tribune that basically said one student per the Chicago Tribune was noted
dad gave him one. Yeah,
he had on a bulletproof vest, which, you know, I mean, I haven't been to high school for a long time, but I don't remember anybody. I mean, that
things
was,
have changed, man.
Things have changed. Yeah,
I mean, they definitely have.
They even got the backpacks out now. that they sell.
They sell like binders too, like clipboards. They actually make them for law enforcement. They're like a Kevlar clipboard, you know. But that way, when the officer's walking up on the car stop, if it happens to be the day that he's getting injured, at least it's some kind of deflection.
Hey, it's one thing.
It's better than nothing.
It's better than nothing, right?
But I was going to talk to you about something there, but I kind of forgot. Go ahead. Let's keep it rolling.
All right. So 227. We're going to double back 227 now. 227, the gunman remained in the teacher's lounge for about 2 minutes before discarding the rifle. Begins a race down the stairs per the West End stairwell into the 1200 building. So at this point, he waited. No one's coming. All right. I'm going to drop the weapon and I'm going to run. I mean, you know, if nobody's coming in after me, I'm just going to go ahead and leave. Right. You know, that's, I'm assuming that's what he's thinking too. So he shoots down the stairwell, goes out the west side of the building, 232. This looks like 5 minutes after the first police officer, sheriff's deputies are entering the building through the west doors, the same one the gunman left 5 minutes earlier.
Yep.
Unaware he's gone, police are searching for the gunman and pull victims out of the building awaiting paramedics. They soon learn surveillance showing him in the school was delayed and the gunman had escaped. The gunman was seen running due west with others who were fleeing the area. The gunman was seen entering stores nearby and going to a nearby McDonald's. So at that point, they realized that the video is on delay.
Yes.
So I guess they didn't realize this before. So, you know, they think that the shooter's still in there. Who knows what kind of delay on? Maybe it's on a 5 minute delay and they think they're actually going in there and the shooter's holed up in the teacher's room, right?
Right.
So, I'm assuming there's an off-site security building or a security office that's feeding this to them.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be off-site, but I mean, it's usually there's probably some location somewhere, some site.
Do you see that a lot, though, that the film's on delay? I mean, I guess it depends on the system.
Exactly. It depends on the system. Some of them could be like on a recording, you know, like they might do like a 24-hour recording and start the next day, you know, or maybe a week or something of that nature. But like I said before, is that, you know, you really can't critique some of the officers if their actions were based off of the information being fed to them.
Sure.
And they were unaware that the information they were given to them was 5 minutes late.
Yeah, because they don't work at this school. They don't know that the tape's on delay. You know, they're looking at
there's so much going on right now. You got one guy whose main job is probably to go find this camera room and start giving these guys the location they need and start walking them in on it. But like I said, the guy to the officers, if and whoever they were, that if they personally saw rounds impacting the glass, people leaving then, and they didn't act to go in there, yeah, like I said back before, that I'll critique and say you were wrong.
Right. So they see bullets flying, they got to go to the bullets flying. Yeah.
Right.
All right. So per CNN at 2:32, four officers, possibly from Coral Springs, two Broward County deputies entered the building. 11 minutes after the first shots were fired, 3:40. The gunman is arrested while walking on a nearby street 79 minutes after he fired his first bullet. Mm-hmm. Suspect was, per the Chicago Tribune, about a mile and a half away from the campus, heading in the opposite direction of his home into a dead-end neighborhood bounded by Lakes Expressway in the Everglades. Suspect was arrested, finally, by Officer Michael Leonard of the Coconut Creek Police Department. So at that time, and we got some updated timelines per Fox News, 2:50. It seemed like he went into the Walmart, purchased a drink inside a Subway, and left the store per Broward County's office. So this guy was everywhere. I mean, he went to Subway, he went to the Walmart.
Made a day of it.
I mean, technically, he could have went to the Walmart, purchased another weapon, you know, more rounds, mm-hmm. And probably walked out with, you know, another gun, you know, at least a shotgun anyway, over the counter. Broward County Sheriff's timeline stated the gunman went into McDonald's. Shooter was not a current student at the school, was kicked out a year earlier. Shooter was charged with 17 counts of premeditated murder. Overall, shooter faces 17 counts of premeditated murder, 17 counts of premeditated murder in the first degree. So, you know, we'll do some follow-ups, on some of these stories later in the year. But this, you know, this was a terrible tragedy that happened a year ago, and we felt it was important to start off our, podcast series on this. Some other notes. There was tremendous controversy that surrounded the school resources officer involvement and potential refusal to engage with the gunman, which led to retirement before termination. He was actually suspended and then he resigned. You know, and it may not have just been him. Like we were saying before, there may have been four other guys that probably were in the same boat. Hey, why would you guys saw, you know, gunfire or bullets and glass flying? There's four of you outside directing traffic. Why aren't you guys running in there? At the same time, the city of Parkland, Florida, was noted as the safest city in Florida per toppalm.com, which goes to show you, and we've said this before, you know, I feel like that's when people are the most relaxed is, hey, we live in a safe neighborhood. This could never happen to us. It only takes one crazy person with a weapon, you know, to turn something, a terrible situation like this. It's, you know, it only takes one person. It doesn't take the whole town.
Right. And just to kind of lean on it, the person doesn't have to be crazy, you know? How many times do we see, especially like a well-coordinated attack could take, you know, some thinking, you know? So, yep. I mean, the person's having a bad day. I mean, with the, I mean, yeah, I've just, like I said, just they don't have to be mentally unstable. So, I mean, and like you said, it's like, this will never happen here. No, it could. And if you think that it's not, like, I think you're doing yourself a disservice.
Yeah, you can always be prepared. You know, have people trauma trained, have an armed guard when needed, especially for large amounts of people. I mean, at some point, and I've said this before, you know, we do a lot of physical security sites and they'll hire us, you know, for a termination detail or something like that. And we come back and we're like, look, you have 1,000 people that work here. You don't have any safeguards in place on your building. You barely have, you know, a safe building. What's going to happen if one of these terminated people come back? And just because you hired us for a week to sit on your building and make everybody feel better, that doesn't solve the bigger problem. You know, for that big of an employment place or school, you need people that are trained to use trauma bags, no tourniquets, no chest seals, armed presence when possible, better security systems not on a delay. You know, and you have to be ready for this sort of thing because, you know, we live in an age where it's almost your responsibility as a school or a business to make sure that your people are safe while they're there. And that's, you know, that's our opinion. And, you know, that's
with you. Here. I mean, take a school, for example, just like a business. I mean, you have your faculty, you have like a person that's in charge of it. You have like, well, if you take a school, you know, you have the principal, you have the vice principal, you have your teachers, you know, you have counselors, you have people dedicated to making food, people dedicated to, like I said, the counselors.
Everybody's got a job.
Why not have security? I mean, even if it's unarmed security, it's better than
nothing. Dual purpose. You got a maintenance guy, but he's also, you know, part of security because he's around these certain hours or, you know, like I said, even if it's not in the budget, make it somehow a dual purpose role.
Right. If you can't, exactly. And that's a good point too, you know, because at the end of the day, it's always money.
It's always money.
Anytime that we talk to people about this, it's always like, well, we don't have the money for it because. So like you said, if you can't get the security or at least get that, at least get the training, you know, I prefer you to be proactive. But if you can, I at least want you to be reactive to the situation then, you know, as opposed to just sitting there because everybody's, you know, as Americans, we live in our little bubble, our little safety bubble, you know, bad guys can't get us here. The wars are always over there. You know, when I say over there, I'm pointing, you know, other people can't see my hand gestures.
We're not on video yet. This is all audio.
And what do you do? Like when something bad happens, what's the first thing people do? They call 911.
They call 911.
And they wait for somebody to come there and tell them what to do.
And then after that, they call higher police to schedule an armed officer because that's the thing that they should do.
Right.
But it's preparedness, you know, making sure these people are trained ahead of time. And we talk about it all the time and we'll continue talking about it on these podcasts. And, you know, we'll go through different, I don't want to say we're going to do all school shooters, you know, or mass shooters, but we'll do other stories based on safety and like how you can prepare, how you can, you know, make your house safer. I mean, that should be an episode at one point is how you've designed your own house, Nate, to make it safer for your kids. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is crazy.
Right.
Like, I mean, start at home. Like these are things.
Right. You know, do what's the most important thing to you. What? But your family, right?
Your family.
And then, you know, then do your work family.
Yeah. And your work family too. Everybody's important. And security and safety should be considered in all decisions whenever, you know, whenever you're making floor plans or designing the room or you know, however, whatever you're putting your thought into.
And it's to touch on that is like, I think it was like one commercial. I don't remember which company it was, but they were saying like a majority of people get home security systems after they've been broken into.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe we should get a system. Well, no, you just got all your stuff's gone now.
Should have had something to begin with,
you know? Yeah. And, you know, it's just the same thing. Perfect. And how I relate that, you know, I go to a wedding or a funeral, people go, why do you have your gun on you? It's like, because you don't have yours, you know,
yeah.
Because, you know, you take your kid to school, I have my gun on me. You know, I go grocery shopping, I have my gun on me, because what's your gun? What good is your gun going to do to you locked up at home? You know,
that's true.
And then on that note too, be trained in how to use that weapon system. Be familiar with it.
Yeah, don't, we don't just need somebody walking right. around with a gun that doesn't know how to use
that. That's how people get hurt. When the people right. that just go, it's when people that don't have get that people that don't know how to use them, don't respect weapons. And also to the criminal element too, well, doesn't it, hurt.
Which brings me to our other shameless plug is, and that's why we train the armed guards. You know, a lot of time the armed guards, they go to the range. Yep. You know, they practice and everything else. It doesn't mean they're specifically trained to protect that building, you know?
Right.
And that's, you know, that's something that needs to be considered too. If you do have armed protection, are they training on your particular building, mm-hmm. on your, you know, different situations that could happen in your building?
And so all they know your protocols, you know?
They know your protocols.
If they're your school resource officer or your security guard, that person should be the expert of that security site, you know, the security for that site. Right. He should know what the policies are, what are his evacuation plans. He should probably know, he should know a lot of stuff. I mean, should know how many people are working there, you know, who's who, should know his employees, who's banned from the, you know,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yep.
It's not just, I mean, I think a lot of people sometimes say, oh, he's like a rent-a-cop, you know, he's really nothing there. But when things are bad, if you have a rent-a-cop, who are you calling? You're going to call your
you're
rent-a-cop.
Call. You're going
to, hey, get over here and handle this.
And you want them trained.
You do. You want them trained.
You don't just want anybody.
I mean, you get what you pay for sometimes.
You get what you pay for. All right. That's gonna wrap up this podcast. The sources from today are South Florida Sun, CNN.com, Daily Mail, Chicago Tribune, The Washington Post, and FoxNews.com. Like I said, we'll have a recap of this with pictures, maps, the storyline timeline detail. We'd like to thank everyone for listening. That's going to wrap up our podcast for today. We'd like to thank Cliffy Hustle at the Cliffy Hustle Podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cliffy, for producing the show, putting it all together, making us sound good. Our research assistant, Ms. Bobin Park, for gathering up all the facts for us because we were too busy to figure all this stuff out on our own.
Thank you, too.
Yep. Thank you, Bobin. Remember, you can always email us questions or story ideas. You can email that to social@higherpolice.com. And our website, of course, is www.higherpolice.com. If you're looking for the best training or physical security, please keep us in mind. We cover the Baltimore, DC, Virginia, and South Florida areas. And we offer ongoing training, trauma kits, building site evaluations, and physical site and personal security. At Higher Police, we only work with the best in the business, and so should you. Follow our podcast at #YellowTape. Thanks, everybody. Have a good day.
Bye.